We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest.
Hey, let's get right to him this morning. Haven't talked to him for a while. Middle linebacker, now in the Finns Walk of Fame, John Offerdahl joins us. John, good morning and congratulations. How you doing?
Good morning, Joe. Good to be on the show, and thanks for the introduction.
Man, that's pretty good stuff. You know, Zach and I were just talking. People forget because you've been so successful. This is a compliment. You've been so successful after football, and actually while you were still playing, that people forget a lot of times how good you were and that you played football. That's pretty good.
Thanks, Joe. I tell you what, it was unbelievable to be on the Miami Dolphins back in the 80s and 90s. What a memory. And, Joe, you were a big part of it too, right? We had a great time.
We did. I tell everybody, I'll never forget the first time we went to Suwanee, Georgia. You made a Suwanee, Georgia trip, right?
I did.
And first time they put you out there, everybody went, well, there's our starting middle linebacker right there. Like day one, man, you were a day one guy ready to go. Hey, John, I always look back at everything and why you were playing and putting a lot of time in, and I always say this, middle linebackers, we're talking about Zach Thomas. What kind of time did you put in, not just on game day, but watching film and video and getting ready for games?
Yeah, so, you know, the middle linebacker is very similar to the quarterback on offense, so we not only took the call from the sideline, we made adjustments to the line and coordinated the defensive back with the front seven. So it was a job that I've always done since high school. I moved on to college. From the first play in high school to my last play in the NFL, I was the defensive signal caller and the captain. And it, you know, that's kind of a cool thing. I never had a coaching change. I had stability in my life, and I always knew I was responsible for leading the defense. So when I came in as a rookie in 1986 and we went to Suwanee, I just assumed that role and, unbelievably stepped right in because of the circumstances of our defense. They needed some assistance at linebacker, and I was able to play right from the get-go. But loved being in that position, and now in life, you know, you just try to continue to, lead others and whatever endeavor you do. And, I've chosen the restaurant world to do that in, and I love it.
What's harder, tackling a running back or the restaurant world?
I tell you what, I would say I was really good at tackling running backs. I'm not quite as good as I was in the football world on the restaurant floor. I've tripped over the mop a couple times. I've learned my lessons the hard way. But it's a longer career, trust me. In the restaurant world, at least for me, it's been a nice 20, 30-year run. Loved it. Haven't got injured to the point where I've had to step out of the game.
John, we're just talking about this because we do this kind of stuff. About the bagel story is unbelievable. The Offerdahl bagels, when a lot of people were telling you, don't do it, bro. If you're an athlete, anything we touch files bankruptcy. Don't do it. Save your money. And somebody made you stick with that concept, and you end up selling it to Einstein Bagels. Walk me through that a little bit, John. He's laughing already.
Well, I was talking to Harvey Green, our communications director, back when I played, and still to this day. And we were laughing because I brought a bunch of bagels on a away game trip, Joe. And, handing them out to players, and they were looking at me like, what are you doing? I'm saying, I'm thinking I'm going into the bagel business. And Harvey had a bagel, and then he pulled me over on the side right there in 1990, and he said, John, you're not Jewish. I don't think you should open up a bagel store in Miami. I said, gosh darn it, Harvey, just because you told me that, I'm going to do it. So Harvey to this day, Harvey takes all the credit for me opening up a bagel store in South Florida.
I have another funny story, too. So recently, my wife, who loves the Cafe Grill that John has and goes to the one in Weston all the time, she's out there, and my daughter and my wife are out there, and she goes, "Oh, my God, that's John right there." And it was packed, and John apparently had an employee not show up. Which happens in that business. People don't show up. So guess who was working? Guess who was grinding back there, getting orders in and out? There he was, John Offerdahl.
Oh, that happens too, right? I actually love being in the game, on the field, in the middle of my restaurant. I love it. I get to see the customers. But to tell you the truth, Joe, it's not probably filling a replacement player who called in sick. It's typically somebody who comes in and literally, I want to work. I love learning. I love engaging a fan and being on the field because that's where the game is. So don't usually have to step in, but there are times in the restaurant business that you get that call and you're like, "Darn it, got to play the game today."
Here we go again. Hey, John, looking back at football, would you do anything differently? After the success you had, anything different you do?
That's a great question. I love that question, and I would. You know what I would do? In my whole career, I was it gets back to leadership. I would have been a better leader. I just think that I was always concerned about playing. I wanted to play. I was so concerned about how I played, me, and my performance, that I didn't reach out and be as good of a leader to others. And I think a great player needs to do that. And I don't think I did. I think by default I might have gotten that credit because I was in that position, kind of like a quarterback on offense. But of all the things, I don't think I would have, lifted harder, tried harder. I think I tried as hard as I could. But looking back at it, and I would have been more confident, Joe. Because, I didn't get a full scholarship.
Smaller school. Yeah.
And you just feel like you never really deserve to be there. And instead of, taking risks, I would hit that offensive lineman every gosh darn time because I was told to do that. And the older I get, I said, I should have whiffed that guy a couple times. He would have thought, twice about, putting his head down and running me over if I would have whiffed him a couple times. But I didn't do that because if I did that and didn't make the play, I would have felt too guilty. So I didn't take the risk that I think I could have, and I probably didn't lead as much as I should have. So that's my two.
Yeah.
Those are pretty, I go to bed every night thanking God that I'm healthy. And
yep.
I had a great career that set me up for the rest of my life, a platform in the community. I mean, there are so many benefits. I am so thankful to the Miami Dolphins, to the NFL.
You ever get the itch to coach, to be out there with the youngsters, high school, middle school, whatever it is?
Well, about 10 years ago, I coached my youngest son's sixth grade football team and literally found myself screaming at kids to tie their shoes the correct way. I realized really quickly this is not what I was meant to be. I love coaching, but I don't think I have, the patience, quite honestly, to coach. And, I give a lot of credit to NFL players who can coach because they have to have patience. Things don't come quite easy to everybody. And as an NFL player, sometimes they came kind of easy to you, and you kind of forget that.
You need more patience for that than to make one of those teriyaki rice bowls? I don't understand.
That's why you got to be careful of being on the front line too much, because sometimes I start ripping them at the front line. I'm like, come on, you got to make that Tokyo teriyaki bowl faster. People are waiting. We don't have time for this. Can you see Shula up there on the front line just ripping people off?
Talk about no patience. Talk about no patience. That would do it. By the way, that's a great one, and that was my next question. We asked Mark Duper yesterday, said, "Dupe, do you ever get your ass chewed? I mean really chewed by Don Shula." He goes, "Oh, yeah." He goes, "But usually it wasn't stuff on the field. It was everything I did off the field." As you know, Dupe was a little wild. Did you ever get one of those? I mean, you were John Offerdahl. You did everything right. Did chews ever really – did you ever get a chewing?
I don't know. Are you kidding me? I got a couple stories. I don't want to eat up your whole show. But the first shocker I ever had was, shortly after in a preseason my rookie year, all of a sudden I see Matt Millen making a tackle from the Raiders on our sideline. And as he's getting up, Coach Shula's just ripping him. an opposing player. Just swearing at him, swearing at him. I grew up never hearing a swear word. I was like so shocked that my coach was swearing at an opposing player on our sideline. And then Matt Millen gets up, he starts swearing back at Coach Shula. I swear to God, I'm like Opie in Wisconsin. So I was shocked. A couple games later, Shula, I played in Cleveland on a Monday night game, and I just played the whole game hurt. And finally they pulled me out in the fourth quarter. They did x-rays. They found out that I had a huge contusion in my arm, the cast, and I was going to be in a cast for 4 weeks after that, probably not playing. And Shula looks at me at the end of the game in the locker room, and he just ripped me for getting hurt. I looked at him. I literally couldn't function that whole week. And Bob Baumhauer was my locker mate next to me. And by that time, he was getting ready to retire. And he was looking at this young pup just saying, man, you're not going to make it. You're going to burn yourself out. And I said, Bob, I got to talk to him. So I literally, in the old camp, I walk into Shula's office, get through the secretary, walk into his office, sit down. I say, Coach Shula, I don't ever want you to swear at me again.
How'd that go?
And he goes, I did nothing. Swear at you. Right back at me. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. I started crying. Anyway, the short story of it is, he actually probably swore at me a couple more times, but he kind of laid off me. I give him respect. I hated people swearing at players. I just thought it was the lowest thing. So I had to at least check myself and hopefully get Coach Shula off my back.
Yeah.
I think my play probably helped a little bit in that, but couldn't believe how he could rip people up. And quite honestly, at the time, you didn't like it. But I also tell people I would have never been an all-pro player if it wasn't for Coach Shula, because he got me to do things I would have never done by myself. And quite honestly, a good coach is that. Pushes you beyond your expectations and beyond your own belief in your abilities. And, gosh, I wish there were people around my life that did that to me now. Now I have to do it, and quite honestly, I'm not the best coach for myself, and most of us aren't. We need somebody else to encourage us, believe in us, and push us beyond what we think we can do.
You were talking about leadership. This thing always pops up on Dolphin teams. We got to get more leadership and more guys when they see something. Through the year, especially the last 15 years, we've heard a lot of that lack of leadership thing. It's really interesting. You were talking about kind of taking care of yourself and not worrying. Did you ever feel weird if you see a guy not doing it right or a guy not taking care of himself or not playing at a level or just being a real distraction on the team? I would never feel comfortable myself, nor was I good enough to go up and say, hey, man, you got to clean it up, dude. You're killing yourself and you're killing our team. Did you ever feel comfortable doing that, John, at all, or was that something you wish you'd have done more of?
That's a great point. That's an area where I just didn't think I did as good a job as I could have. But there's a fine line between going up to somebody and telling them what they should and shouldn't do and having the respect and the platform and the authority to do that. And, I do think that certain players on the team, and the team knows who those players are, have the right, and quite honestly, someone's looking for them to do that. They are. And when they don't do that, that's the beginning of an unraveling of a team. When there are people on a team that have that personality, that authority, and that experience, they need to step up in an inappropriate way, not a showboaty way. We all know those. That take charge of those situations. I don't think I did that. And I think, I couldn't believe, Joe, Zach, that there were times in the NFL when I would look at my professional players, and they're all friends, great comrades, but I would say to myself, man, they care more about a pickup basketball game or they care more about a poker game on the plane than they do their performance on a field. And those are the type of opportunities you have of just pulling them aside one-on-one or something like that and say, look, get your priorities straight. This is the NFL. You're not going to be here for long, and you need to put your best foot forward on this because other players are depending upon you. And so, it takes a very unique person to be able to do that.
I agree.
Away with it, but they are on every team. And even if there's always an internal pecking order of leadership, and those people, like, Dwight Stevenson, huge leader. Did he ever have to say much? No. But, I mean, if you felt like you were on the wrong side of Dwight's thoughts, you would want really hard to make amends.
Yeah.
And those type of people have an important role in every team.
Yeah.
And I don't quite understand all the things of leadership, but I think it is so important, way undervalued.
Yeah. No,
and even when people talk about it, they're talking about it below what they should.
I think Adam Gase has been all over that, and fans go, why is he always talking about that? I agree, man, because coaches can't be around all the time, and you need guys that are down there that are playing to take those roles. John, it's great being with you, man. Congratulations. Really appreciate you spending some time with us, man.
Zach, Joe, love you guys. You guys do a great job on your show. Joe, how many years is this for you?
Oof, a lot.
23, 4, 5. I'm at the last. It's at the end there, Johnny. I can tell you that. We're about running out here, man.
No. We want you to stay on the team.
All right.
Yes, we do.
Buddy. You're great.
Yeah. Yep. We'll keep going. John, thank you, man. You off to the Cafe Grill now? You going to head on to the Cafe? Yeah,
I figured that.
Leadership, my friend. Food leadership today. Thank you, John.
All right, guys.
One of the newest inductees into the Dolphins Walk of Fame. The inductees are going to be celebrated at Hard Rock Stadium during the November 30th, December 2nd Alumni Weekend presented by Baptist Health South Florida. Proceeds from Alumni Weekend benefit the education impact area of the Miami Dolphins Foundation. On Friday, November 30th, the Dolphins will host their Alumni Weekend Golf Tournament presented by Waste Management at the Miami Beach Golf Club. Festivities will continue Saturday, December 1st, the Alumni Weekend Party presented by Verizon at Wynwood Walls with activities to include a live and silent auction. Tickets available at www.miamidolphins.com/forum/alumni-weekend.
Hey, I got one goal. I'm glad you said that. I got one goal. Tell me if you're with me on this one. Get in that new Hard Rock Hotel. I got to get a room in there sometime.
Yeah, of course. Right?
Why, that thing
do I have
is
to
cool.
read something for that? I'll read something for that also.
No. I was just, you said Hard Rock, and I was like, damn, man, that would be.
Are you kidding me? I see that every day that on the way to work. Get on the turnpike on the way to work. I see a guitar every day.
That thing would be great.
It's getting big.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yep.
Hey.
I have absolutely been in touch with Hassan. We've gotten together for lunch. We've been in constant contact on the phone and text. Like many things in this league, it's not what it seems on the outside. It's pretty normal NBA life. I'm looking forward to the start of the season with a healthy Hassan. I know he's looking forward to that. And we still have a good part of the summer to get better.
That was Eric Spoelstra as we continue on here in the 8 o'clock hour talking about Hassan Whiteside. And everything's good, not as bad as you guys are making it sound like. I got it. He's healthy, and he's going to have a really good year. He's ready to go. Matter of fact, our team's going to have a really good year. We're excited, and we think we can be a lot better than we were a year ago. I don't know. You think 50 wins is doable in the East? They had 44 a year ago. Was a sixth seed. Can they move up a couple of spots? Can they get close to 50 wins, 48, 49,
Well,
50
go back
wins?
To what Ira said to us was yesterday. He said that the Heat team might have more wins and actually might move down and not up because there's other teams in the East. You know, a lot of these teams might have more wins or might have better records because they're so – the bottom of the East is really bad. The bottom of the West is really bad too, but the bottom of the East is really bad. Yeah. So some teams might have better records and slip down a little bit further, so they might not be as high as a seed but could get 48, 49 wins and drop down two spots. Who knows? I think if, the team stays healthy and they're the same team as last year, maybe with an addition of maybe possibly a Melo. If not, it's not the, you know, it's not going to make or break 10 wins for this team. But, yeah, I think they're going to be still a good team in the East. The East is really, like, you know, hit or miss at the top. It's there's a couple of good, really good players.
Everybody thinks there's basically three really good teams.
And then everyone else is kind of just thrown in the mix. You know, like, you're going to get your Boston and your Philly. That should be your one and your two. Milwaukee should be up there also. It's probably the three somewhere in there. And then Toronto, you know, they didn't do – there wasn't really wholesale changes on that team. So there's your top four or five teams. So the Heat are right there in the mix. Could they have a run at the end of the season that moves them ahead of one of those teams? Sure. Yeah. What about Washington? They're still a pretty good team also, but there's no great teams.
Well, there's a lot of teams. A lot of people think Indiana and could be really good. Milwaukee's probably got the best player in the East.
Yes.
So, yeah, you look at all those things. It will be interesting. By the way, there's still some players out there to find out where they end up going. Hey, getting back to John Offord on, we thank John for coming on with us this morning, talking about leadership, and he wished he would have been
a better leader.
Wow.
That's surprising.
Well,
to come from, you know,
man, there's
five-time Pro Bowler.
There's a lot of guys that lead by the way they play.
By example.
And he was obviously really good, but he was always kind of quiet and, you know, but I don't know. I've seen guys screw up through the years, and I played with some of the greatest screw ups in the history of the Dolphins. A lot of them were good players, but I'd never say anything. I don't know if I saw a guy screwing up that bad. And yeah, I always thought we had really good leadership across the board from guys. Some guys even like might have gone too far with their leadership role because they were older players. Because I caught a handful of guys that were still on the undefeated team that played into the 80s. And so those guys had seen the greatest days in the history of football.
Sure.
But not a lot. I think most guys, human nature is not to be, not only am I going to be a great player, but I'm going to tell you, hey, were you out last night? Come on, stay focused.
But after it's all said and done, like John is now thinking about when you asked him that question, that I think that's a very good thing to think about now. And maybe it's a positive reinforcement for the next guy out there that's listening. I just don't know if a lot of guys think like that, like you said, when it's all said and done. When it's going on and you're young in the NFL, I don't think there's a lot of guys out there that, like you said, are going to look around and go, guys, follow me and we could do this.
You know who I think's really good but wants nothing to do with leadership? And this is not a shot.
Can I guess?
He's on the team now.
Cam Wake.
Yes.
Why did I know you were going to say that?
I just think he wants to be really good and prove everybody and coming off his Achilles injury.
I don't think he's the rah-rah guy in the locker room.
But he wants to just play and he wants to be left alone. Yep. Maybe I'm wrong. He just seems like he wants to be. We never see the guy.
Mm.
Of any active player in any sport in this town, and listen, the hockey guys go back, a lot of them go back to Canada, so we never see them. I have never been around a guy that I couldn't tell you anything about Cam Wake. I don't know anything about him. He plays, he talks there, and he's gone. Right?
Yeah, you're right.
You're going Cam.
Summed it up for him.
You're the greatest, second greatest pass rusher in the history of this franchise, clearly. And, like, you're going to go down as one of the top 10 players in the history of this organization
close to it.
And, like, you are just, I want to do my job. I don't want to be the guy that has to go talk to young guys about if they need a question, they can ask me, but.
Some guys are okay with it. Some guys want nothing to do with it. Some guys don't care about being a leader. And that's why I like John's answer.
I don't know if Cam goes out with the other guys.
I don't know either. We don't know a lot about Cam. Well, that's the difference also. You don't hear a lot about Cam off the field, good or bad, which is kind of a good thing. Because the more we heard about him, if it was anything bad, we'd hear a lot more about it. I just think that Cam goes in there, does his job, and leaves. And that's not a bad thing. I'm not ripping the guy for it because
he's been great
at what he does.
Takes care of himself, doesn't drink. Like, things you hear about him, and
he'll tell you positive things.
Like, wow, you don't drink? Nope. Only put good things in my body.
Yep.
Matter of fact, sometimes the food's not good here. I have my own chef do it. Like, you're going, whoa, way, like, serious. Hard road to the NFL.
Sure.
Not handed anything. Had to go through the Canadian Football League.
And has now become a superstar.
So he got a late jump into this one. Hey, if this guy would have started,
oh man, a 21,
how many
22?
Sacks would he be if he started? And he got in this league like 21, 22, like everybody else. We'd be talking about Jason Taylor plus numbers with sacks as he's sneaking up on 100.
That's right.
So, but yeah.
I just don't know if he's
like
that guy.
It sounds like we took a shot at him.
No,
that's
why I want to kind of reinforce the fact that I think he's a superstar. I don't think he's a good player, and I don't think he's a great player. I think he's one step above that. I think he is on that next tier, that next level of guy. I just don't know because we don't see a lot about it, and not even when we go to camp, I don't think he's a rah-rah guy, that's not a bad thing.
I don't think guys can change your personality, too. If you're
he's
not,
low key. Yeah.
If you're not made up that way, you're not made up that way.
That's it. But, man, if you're another guy on the team, a Charles Harris or another young guy on the team at playing that position, you want to find a guy to kind of learn from?
No.
Off the field,
that
everything?
That whole group of guys now, yeah.
They're veterans, good. But they have some young guys there, but they're pretty veteran happy there. Quinn and Cam Wake and guys like that. There, William Hayes out there. Like, there's some good
Andre
vets.
Andre Branch.
To learn from, you know?
We were just got into this this whole thing about leadership and what makes it. But a lot of guys don't want to be. Nobody feels comfortable when a guy's out and he's going
to
through
say
stuff
something.
And go, hey, dude, you got to, like, enough, man. You got to get zoned back in on, dude, you're not even playing close to the way you can play, like, you know. Come on, you need to get it to, you know, and sit down or take time to find out what it is. I'm going through marital problems, like football players go through and athletes go through same kind of problems as everybody. Oh, hey, dude, you've been staying out late every night, dude. You know, smelling alcohol in your breath here at practice today.
Did a lot of guys do that in the locker room with you? I mean, not saying you personally. I'm just
saying, our team was a bunch of friggin' wild guys that could play on Sunday.
I think it's more of a kind of like the mystique of that guys do that. I don't think a lot of guys do that. I don't think there's a lot of guys in professional sports today that do that type of thing.
No, it's gotten a lot better. You know who the last group to really, really hit that hard? Go back to the we draft Sean and Vontae.
Mm.
They were hitting the clubs hard. Remember coming up and coming
well,
in.
We
and,
heard a lot about that before Vontae was let go from here.
And by the way, they're really good players.
Yeah, Sean's got some issues off the field.
He does now, but he's a really good player.
Yeah.
Big physical
guy. You remember
guy.
When Vontae and Sean were here, what we were saying? Could this be the next Pat and Sam?
Yeah.
Drafted those two guys, young guys out there, both kind of shut down corners. Oh, the new Pat and Sam. Ooh.
But you're never going to get a perfect locker room.
No, of course
you're
not.
You're not going to have 53 guys and a coach going, man, you're just not.
It's 53 different personalities, Joe. You can't do that. You can't do that in
you're
humans.
Gonna, you're going to have like, oh, this draft class is like, no, you're going to have some guys that got a little dog in them. I mean, they're going to be, they're not, you got to work around it a little bit. They could be, because bottom line is you want them good, Sunday, they got to be good.
Of course.
Bottom line
That's
is,
when it matters.
We can talk about a lot of things, and this guy, not. Well, you can talk whatever you want, but you better have some guys that you got to put up with a little bit and suck it up as a coach. Because the guy can play on Sunday.
That's it.
And if he gives you a little crap.
Different personality.
Or he needs a little more
attitude
maintenance.
Attitude problem, yeah.
You got to suck it up a little
56022, the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. We'll read some text for you real quick. I just want to read one. I don't go talking bad about Cam Wake. Would you really prefer an average player that has strong leadership skills or an above average player with minimal or no leadership skills? Well, the answer to that is.
Oh, you want the best player possible.
I just want the best player possible. That's it.
Yeah.
But I understand the question because we're kind of throwing it out there.
Oh,
yeah.
Is it?
Leadership is important, but having superstar is more important than having a leader on the
team. Hey, we may have somebody who says, you're wrong. Cam does a lot of private work with guys
you
never
you're right.
see.
You're
and
right.
You're going, okay. All right.
I want to have more superstars and more leaders. Yes, there's your
Hey, we got Mike Hill, Miami Marlins president of baseball operations, after a long drought with us, is coming back here today. Going to be on. We'll talk to him about his baseball team coming up at 9 o'clock. We might be getting Mark Clayton. We got to see if we can get Clayton in 9 o'clock. He lives in Texas.
Oh.
And find out if we can't get the Marx brothers. Just get them knocked out. Dupe yesterday, Clayton today. So we may have that for you coming
like
up 9
it.
O'clock hour two. Yeah.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Hey, welcome back, and good morning to everybody. What a crazy day this is going to be. Zach, we've got the big presentation day in the city of Miami. Big presentation in front of the five commissioners. I'm guessing Numero will be there too.
Numero. I can imagine, yeah.
And they'll be all there to hear the pros and cons of taking the golf course and turning it into Miami Freedom Park. And at the end of the day, the big question is, people, are the people who live in the city of Miami going to get an opportunity to vote on it, or is it going to get stopped by the commissioners?
Well, that is the question. There's one vote. It looks like that it might be the deciding vote if all these reports are right. Because the mayor said, what, two people are,
he said
are
it's
on one side.
Two and two right
on
now.
The other.
And we got to find out about the other one. Some have already come out and said they're against it from whatever they know or whatever they're going to hear and already made up their mind. I'm sure everybody knows as they're going in this today, right?
Yep.
It's not like the first time they've all talked.
No. But your prediction, we talk tomorrow morning. We open the show tomorrow morning. Your prediction on the meetings today or what? Does this get approved or no?
Oh.
Does that fifth vote go the way of the Moss family and Beckham? Or for Dade County and its residents because they don't think it's right thing to do?
I don't think it's going to pass.
Okay.
But I still believe everything shouldn't be stopped. I hate commissioners. Let me just start by that. I stink and hate commissioners.
Well, they have a bad rap for what happened with the Marlins and all that.
I hate them.
Yep.
Let your people vote.
Yep. I agree. I'm with that. If the people vote, I'm okay.
See, commissioners are supposed to be representing their areas where they're from.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to tell me those commissioners represented Marlins ballpark. Now, I like the ballpark. It's beautiful.
Of course.
But they didn't represent the people. They got the deal done. They didn't ask. That vote, people thought, would have been lopsided. Against.
Against, yeah.
So let people vote. I don't care. I got people ripping me, golf people ripping me, and somebody told me yesterday, text me, hey, such and such is really mad at you. F you. Like, I'm not, what? Shut up. Mad at me about what? I'm not gonna have final say on this.
Come on,
let the people vote.
Yeah. That's it.
Either side, John. Let them vote.
I think that's the easy way to do it.
Let them vote.
Get it to the people and the people that live in Dade County.
Educate people on your side of the thing and get out.
What happens if it doesn't pass? If it goes to vote and say it gets voted down, do we do this whole thing again with a new location?
What's next?
Yeah, the next
what's
proposal.
What's next out of town?
So then we're set back by, what, another, what, 6 months?
I don't know. Yeah, they're all in on this today, but.
I'm assuming the Moss family has a plan B, but plan B is not as nice as plan A.
No, I think they really want this.
They want this. This is their baby. This is going to be their, listen, the Moss family's done plenty in Dade County, but this will be it for, you know.
Zach, we knew about traffic. Like, traffic.
Of course.
Like, if you drive Dade to Broward and Broward to Dade and you're familiar with that area, you know they got a serious traffic problem. So
hey, guess what? There's traffic today, so it doesn't matter.
I wasn't aware of the landfill contamination. That's a new one, so that's
popping up. That
popped
up yesterday afternoon.
I don't mean to be, and I do a ton of charity events, but this whole, the First Tee program, which everybody loves, the DeLuca family. Charlie DeLuca started this thing and his kids at work in it. It's fantastic. It's a national. It's all over. It's actually all over the world. But that thing can be taken care of. Like, there's other places to go. Like, it, you know, if it can't be at Mel Reese Country Club, it still can work. It's not going to disappear from Dade County.
No.
So anyway, what else we got coming in today, Zach?
All right, 56022, Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. Someone just texted this in. The people should vote. It's their dollars. I agree with that also. Screw job to the people if not. Miami's a great city. Let the fans vote or let the people vote.
What dollars, though? I was under the impression we're not paying for it.
It is privately funded, but I'm sure there's going to be something.
What are people not understanding about this?
Yeah.
Because nobody trusts when they hear privately funded. They're like, well, we heard that, you know, I mean, I happen to believe if Jorge Moss tells you something, just because I've known the Moss family a long time, very successful, they live down here, they truly live down here. I believe when he says it, but there's just a lot of people that aren't. They got to still fight the whole Marlins thing.
And someone just texted in Marlins Park, the former mayor Alvarez was the decider on that. They impeached him.
Where is he now?
Yeah. So there it is.
He was pumping iron, and
that's right.
Might have been taking something when he was pumping iron.
You know, allegedly,
might have gotten found a little juice.
Moss said first he would move, and plan B is Overtown. Someone just texted.
There ain't no plan B to Overtown. They
don't
want it.
There is no Overtown.
I think Overtown is dead.
Yeah. Will World Cup games be played at Dolphin Stadium, or will this new stadium increase the odds of Miami hosting?
First of all, has nothing to do with it. Stop.
If the World Cup hard does
rock.
Come down here, it's
Hard
Rock.
Rock
Stadium.
The guy that's bringing soccer down here is not David Beckham. Stephen Ross.
That's right.
It's already done. Ain't nobody else bringing the teams that we've had. I mean, we just take it for granted, but soccer fans don't. But just in general, like, oh, Manchester United and Real Madrid and Barcelona. Oh, you just named some of the best teams in the world. Oh, from the Premier League and all these other. Okay.
Stephen Ross is the one who got those down here.
Yeah, he's got this thing starting the whole country and gets the games here.
Here's an interesting one. Carmelo, a text coming in. What I don't understand is that Mike D'Antoni quit from the New York Knicks because of Melo. Why would they want him back in Houston? Please explain that to me. It's a good text. He couldn't run farther away from New York to get away from Carmelo. And now all of a sudden this team that was one game away from the finals is going to pick up Melo and put that back in there? I don't know. I still think that James Harden and Chris Paul are running that team. Mike D'Antoni is just a coach. Because if those two guys go to the owner and say, we can get Melo in here.
I'm telling you, there's a lot of people think he's going to end up here in Miami. He's going to have a Miami Heat uniform on. So,
yeah.
That's the way it's starting to look. Hey, we've got Mike Hill, Miami Marlins president of baseball operations. They just took 2 out of 3 from a real good Milwaukee team. Did it in 12 last night. Good stuff going on. Castro with a big hit in the 12th. And the Marlins get a 5-4 win in 12 innings. So we'll talk to him. We got the trade deadline coming up. Find out. They got a couple guys playing at a really high level. We'll ask him about the minor league system and how everything's going. This first time, how many years has it been since we had Mike Hill?
It's been a little bit.
I got tired of asking.
Yeah, it's been a little bit. I used to talk to him on the afternoon show. I didn't talk to him too much.
No, either. I know it was me.
Yeah, it's, I'm
no, no, I know it was me because here, yeah. of the former ownership. It was made pretty clear to me who it was made by.
Yeah,
we turned it around nicely though. I mean, look, we got bobbleheads.
I saw.
No,
these are sweet bobbleheads. They're Hambino.
Listen,
Sandlot.
I have never turned a relationship around in my life the way we've turned around on this morning show, and Zach's had to deal with some of it.
They sent me some good stuff for Matthew, by the way.
The way we've turned this thing around has been, I even told my wife, I go, you're not going to believe, like, usually she calls me the destroyer of relationships.
Basically.
She said, you turned this one around, huh? And I go, yeah, I feel good about it.
You can thank me.
Mike Hill coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.